Are you thankful that you were able to wake up this morning? It's wonderful that we are alive, is it not? For the dead know nothing, but we are alive. We can still grow and give thanks and praise. We have a know that there is a creator, because as we look out, we see his creation, so that we know there is a creator. So we have lots to give thanks for. So the title for this message is Giving Thanks Always. Giving Thanks Always. Thanksgiving, in Hebrew, Greek, and English, all mean the same thing. It means a healthy, cheerful acknowledgement of favors bestowed. The implication is that it is bestowed on us by others. That could be other people, or it could be God that has bestowed something on us. Those favors could be spiritual. They could be temporary. They could be physical gifts that we receive. They could be spiritual gifts that God gives us. They could be things eternal, or they could be things temporary and mortal. An additional part of this definition is interesting to think about because it always also means to hold responsibility and thanksgiving. It means that the one you are thanking is responsible for giving you the gift, wherever those gifts come from. Our giving of thanks is an acknowledgement that they are responsible for giving the gift. So when we thank God for what he's given to us, we are holding him accountable for that gift that he's given us. Now, that's not a bad at all. For by acknowledging the gift that we've received from him, he knew what he was doing, the gift that he gave us. He's responsible for what he gave us. So this acknowledgement that he has given us is his responsibility that he gave us this gift. Please turn now with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 through 18, where we read, Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For in everything we are to give thanks, whatever comes our way. The Revised Standard Version translates the last verse as, Give thanks in every circumstance, for this is God's will. Every circumstance, give thanks for God. So for us as a Christian, understanding and everything what we've received, we should be rejoicing. It should be an exhilarating experience that we know that God is there. He's given us these gifts and things that happen in our lives because he's looking out for us. So rejoicing, as we see here, is every bit as obligating as prayer. We are to rejoice. If we constantly live our lives mindful of the purpose that God is working in us, conscious that he is love and he has our best interests in mind, we should be able to rejoice even in thankfulness in sickness and health, prosperity and financial hardships that may come our way. If we have this close contact with our Father and he's looking out for us, as we just read, rejoicing in everything. How do we do that? We have to keep our eye on the future, the kingdom of God, to be in his presence. He is preparing us, working with us. So that's why we have our trials. Because he's fashioning us. We are the clay. He is the potter. So adequately to express thankfulness, we must consciously direct our mind to the source and giver of every gift, as we just read, praying always without ceasing and giving thanks, for this is the will of God. And it is a process, though, that does not come naturally. We have to work on it. Looking a little bit deeply into the English word thanks opens up something very interesting as well. The word thank comes from the same root as the English word think. Now, this is according to the History of Thank You, the Interpretation Company, in January 29, 2016. Quote, the word thank stems from the Latin word tongere. That's T-O-N-G-E-R-E. The root tongue, T-O-N-G, means think. Same root, thanks and think. So thanking involves thinking. You have to think about thanking someone. It means consciously looking for the good. Looking to and thinking about the future kingdom of God, as his word reveals, as I mentioned earlier, it should be easy to be thankful to God. Now, this does not mean we will not be aware of the difficulties, but having that outlook of the kingdom, when we have a trial in our lives, changes things. We know what the future is, but how many people in the world know what the future is when they're going through trials and what's happening in their life? They haven't been given that gift that we have with his Holy Spirit to understand what the future is when his Son returns. If we look at things this way, knowing what the future is, we should have a positive, hopeful, and uplifting approach to life, consisting of challenges that we see, that we have, instead of problems that we face. So this is a challenge, whether it be health issue or what a financial issue, because we know God is love, and he loves his children. And we know that from, if you would, take a look with me over here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Probably a scripture many of us have memorized. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, where we read, and we know, Paul's writing, that all things work together for good. Everything that happens works together for good. To those, that's the rest of the verse, to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So everything in our lives, to those of us that have been called and baptized, works to our good. It does not say everything that takes place works for the good at all times. No. It's for those that God is working with, the called out one, his special people that you and I are. We've been called by the Father, and we do have things that we face, challenges in our lives. Those of us who have been, some of us here, over 50 years in the church, we know we've had challenges, but we've come through them, have we not? Because God the Father was there. He supplied what we need, and we're here today. A relationship with God is dependent upon obedience to his will, as we read. If we begin to feel disconnected and resentful for what God has permitted to happen to us, if we are not thankful for what is happening, we'll end up sinning. Sin will enter in because we become resentful. How could you do this, allow this to happen to me? Let's notice the example of Cain. If you turn with me over to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 6. Genesis chapter 4. Well, let's start in verse 4 here. Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. Abel also bought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So Cain became angry. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, and you should rule over it." So we see what happened here. Cain's offering was not respected by God. But instead of listening to God, learning a lesson there, what God was saying to him, he became angry. And his resentment produced war. And his brother ended up dead because he wasn't listening to God the Father to understand. Because God at that time was telling Cain, "This is what you have to do, and I'll respect you. Just do it." No, Cain was not looking for it as helpful correction. So as I said, we are the clay. God is the potter. He's working with us. He's molding us so that we can be a vessel in his kingdom. Let's notice over now, if you would, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 regarding the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boisterous, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, and despisers of good." So we see these men, it starts off verse 2, lovers of themselves. And what happens when we see here lovers of themselves? Everything else follows that. For an individual is proud. He does not have humility. And notice they are unthankful, unholy. So for men will be lovers themselves is a source of all the other parts of that list that follow. Adam Clark, in his commentary, feels that it should be have been translated, "Men will be," quoting from Adam Clark, "men will be studious of their own interests," end of quote. What Adam Clark is saying, in effect, is that selfishness is the father of being unthankful and unholy. So unthankfulness then is a fault, is the effect of self-centeredness, thinking of yourselves. The love of self then is the attitude or the thinking pattern, which is the function, fountain of all sins. When a man makes his own will the center of his life, his relationship with God deteriorates. Think about that. Someone who's not humble, self-centered, thinking about his life, his relationship with God deteriorates because he's not looking to God, not thankful for God in his life. See, this relationship that we are to have with God the Father is dependent upon our obedience to His will. If we begin to feel discontented and resentful with what God has permitted to happen to us in our lives, if we are not thankful for what is happening, we're going to sin. Because we aren't looking to Him with what has happened in our lives. In our daily communication with God, as we read, we are to be thankful. Thankfulness should be there in our lives, no matter what comes our way. We want that relationship with God the Father. So when we have these trials that come our way, we know He's there. He will get us through. If we're tempted, what does Scripture say? Not beyond what we can go to God the Father. And He will bring us out and through. If you would, turn with me now over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. So as we read here, Paul opens up this chapter. Verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in the craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul is beginning to show us that thankfulness that is in him for what he has. He's been given the gospel by Christ. And even though he had to go through very painful situations, as we know, if we read over in 1 Corinthians 11, what he went through. But for the gospel's sake, because of this gift he understood that God has given him, he went through it and would go through it. Continuing on here now. Verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So there are those that God of this world has blinded and do not understand the gospel message. But Paul is saying here, you know, I'm going to give this gospel message no matter what hindrances I have. You know, he was beaten, left for dead. Continuing on verse 6 now. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, it shows here, Paul kind of relating his own experience. He is walking in darkness in his life, what he was doing. Until on that day, walking on the road to Damascus, that bright light shone to him. He's no longer in darkness, Paul. And isn't that our story as well? Before God called us, we were walking in darkness in the way of the world. We were not understanding many things in life, what is taking place, what the future was. We were in darkness. And one day God called us, the Father called us, and gave us light so that we can see now what the future is, what our future can be, and what His plan of salvation is for mankind. So we, too, were blinded. But now we ought to be giving glory to God, thanking Him, praising Him for having called us out of the world that He is here for us. We're be given insight by God into his word. Verse 7 here, Paul says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Yes, we have a treasure inside of us with God's Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. Let's acknowledge it and use it as God desires. We have this treasure of knowledge. We have the forgiveness of sin. We've been let out through the light as long as we look to Jesus Christ, studying his word. We've been so blessed because we know so many in the world have not been drawn to the light as of yet. We need to be thankful that we were called to understand God's plan of salvation. So God has called us. We have this treasure. Have we come to understand we need to give him thanks and praise? Continuing on now in verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So yeah, we continue walking in faith, having this faith that we are to follow God, his word, daily. No matter what comes our way, we are to follow Christ. You might say, we are hard-pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. Verse 8 here now. We are not crushed, perplexed. If we allow our minds to slip into despair, it can be perplexed to what is happening. Prosecution sets in. But God has not forsaken us. We may be struck down, but we are not destroyed because of God there with us. Always caring about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. Things that we go through, showing that we don't give up, we persevere because we're doing it with God's Spirit within us to help us through the trials that come our way, the situations. So let us understand the importance of these words. We have to go through what we go through, as Paul says here. If we do not go through the difficult times that we go through, we will not come out the other looking like Jesus Christ. Think of what Christ went through as well, what he suffered and went through. So faith is involved in this, that you have this relationship. We have this relationship with God the Father. Do we believe that God is creating himself in us? Do we have that down in our sin? Yes, Father, you are working with me. Please guide and direct me. You know, those times of want, those times of deprivation, the times of pain, the times of uncertainty that almost all of us face at one time or another. Times that we feel forsaken. If we do see it, we will thank God that he is there for us. And we've been called out of darkness. We can look to the light. We know Christ is there. He will respond, and by his responding to whatever we're going through, we draw closer to him. Think about experiences you've had in your life that you went through, and you prayed to God, "Help me, Father, in this situation." And then he answered. And you're grateful. I'm thankful for that answer. If we do not thank God, The only conclusion is that he can come to is that we resent what we are going through instead of looking to him. Continue reading here in this chapter, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, where Paul writes, "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." And we're to live for Christ, what he has to do, would like to do with us. Therefore, from now on, oh, wait a minute, I got off into chapter 5. I want to be in chapter 4 here. Verse 13 of chapter 4. "For since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." So that's why Paul keeps speaking and preaching. "Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." You know, Paul, he calls it a light afflictions, even what he went through. But none of us have gone through what he went through. But he calls it light because we're looking for the eternal weight of glory when Christ returns and we're with him. "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We should have joy in that, knowing that the experiences of things that we go through, health issues or whatever, financial issues, God is there with us. He will get us through. From many times, we have our stories, should have. Let's notice what happened over here in Luke chapter 17 and verse 11 through 19. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11 through 19. "Now, as it happened, as he went through Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." So Jesus said to this individual, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to me give glory except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Or as the King James Version says, "Your faith has made you whole." Because this individual turned back to give thanks to Jesus Christ for what Christ had did for him. You know, a leper was outcast at that time. They were quarantined according to the instructions that God gave in the Old Testament. If one had leprosy, he'd been in a great deal of pain at times, and other times things were happening to his body, like fingers could fall off, His nose could fall off, ears could fall off of a leper, and they not even know it. Have no feeling touching their hands. So he come back and he gave thanks to God. So yes, Christ said, your faith has made you whole. Because you come back and acknowledge what I have done for you. So these men, you know, the other nine, they were probably all thrilled and happy. They were healed. Their leprosy was gone. But they did not come back to God and show their gratitude for Christ, for what he'd done for them. So thanksgiving led this man to worship God, drawing him closer to Jesus Christ. So we have to acknowledge the favors bestowed upon us, that we have daily thankfulness that we're here today. If not, we will separate ourselves from God. And as we read earlier, it'll probably lead us into sin. So Jesus made a definite distinction here when he said to this individual, you are now whole, because he understood Jesus Christ. Another nine may have concluded that they had ingratitude. And their ingratitude may be even worse than leprosy, because they did not thank Christ the blessings for what had happened. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Therefore, by him, Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So here we see praise and thankfulness are so closely linked in the Bible that they appear to be similar, but they are not similar. They are not one and the same, but they are very closely related. Praise is an expression of approval, a commendation. Giving thanks is an expression of thanks or gratitude for favors bestowed. But praise is an expression and approval and commendation. Primarily in the Bible, we can find in Psalms, a number of Psalms give praise. So we are to give praise and thank God for what he has done for us. When one begins thinking about what to thank God for, one realizes, hey, I shouldn't just thank him for it. I ought to praise him for it. You know, we ought to praise like Paul said there. Give praise, continue on. That is why many psalms are there to extend giving of thanks into the giving of praise that we are for what God has done for us. Praise, when we are praising God, extols, lauds, applauds, eulogizes, and acclaims God for his work and all he has done for us in our lives. Thanking him for his calling. So when we think this week or today of who to thank, we thank God for his blessings, having called us out of the world, having called us out of darkness, and with his Spirit now, and through his word, we have the light before us. And we can understand everything that he's worked with us through the years. Like I said, some of us over 50 years. God has been working with us, bringing us, molding us, so that we can be in his kingdom beside his son, to bring about peace to this world that it definitely needs. Kind of is capped off here. If you turn with me to one of the Psalms, we have here Psalm 103. Psalm 103. If you turn with me there. And there's a number of Psalms talk about praising God. You know, the last five Psalms in the book here all have to do with praising God. But Psalm 103 and verses 1 through 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is in me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Yes. Let us bless God. Give him thanks for what he's done for us. You know, that is where our hopefulness is, in God. That is where thanksgiving is. Directing our will to think about the benefits of a trial, the benefits of adversity, and the benefits of prosperity. Each place has a benefit. You know, when you were struggling, when I was struggling financially, didn't know how we was going to make a house payment. Somehow or another, we come through. Or the lending institution said, okay, you know, as long as it takes, make a smaller payment once a month. Blessings like that, that you've, God directed you to this particular institution, financial institution, to give you a loan. So many times, brethren, when we're in adversity, God gives a way out. He's there for us. So let's remember his benefits. Let us train ourselves to look for those benefits and be thankful always, so we can grow in this relationship with God the Father, knowing that he's there daily. We are to give thanks to him. Thankful at the end of the day that your day went well, that you're there, that he's there with us. And thankful when we wake up in the morning and we got through the night and we're alive. For as I said earlier, the dead know nothing. But we still have the opportunity to grow daily, grow closer to our Heavenly Father, because of his Spirit, because he called us to the light. We're no longer in the darkness, brethren. Let's be thankful for that.